Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 154.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Yotpo SMS Bump, the leading SMS marketing solution for Shopify brands that are looking to build a top revenue channel. Delivering unbeatable conversions and click-through rates, SMS Bump will help your brand cut through the noise and boost sales. With SMS Bump, you can build powerful remarketing automations to recover abandoned carts or even reactivate customers who haven't shopped in a while. Special thanks to advanced segmentation filters, you can create truly personalized campaigns that will speak to each and every one of your customers, bringing in over 25x ROI. You can engage in one-on-one conversations with customers and give them the personalized experiences and tailored support they crave. What's also great about SMS Bump is their integration with key partners such as Zendesk, Klaviyo, Just Uno, and many more, including Yotpo's other solutions. Your audience can enjoy an always-on, omni-channel experience on the channel they prefer. It's incredibly easy to download SMS Bump for free and set it up in less than 5 minutes. This is the only text marketing app you will ever need for your Shopify brand. And now, as an e-commerce Fastlane listener, you get a one-month free trial on their paid plan. So check them out today. Click the link in the show notes, visit the Shopify App Store or ecommercefastlane.com/SMS Bump and see why over 90,000 other brands choose SMS Bump. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, then you're in the right place today. In today's episode, my guest is Mark Sandino, who is the CEO of a company called Experiences, and they're a Shopify app. And what they do is they help businesses sell experiences first and then enjoy the increased product sales in a supporting role to the experiences that have been consumed by the end consumer. It's really exciting. It's really an interesting paradigm shift, I would say. It's timely, where with retail opening up and some ways of people thinking some interesting ways of how they can differentiate themselves to others and maybe in the very competitive kind of e-commerce market to actually get people together. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, Mark. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, but I think it's best in the founder's own words exactly what you're doing and what you're building. So maybe on a high level first, like what is this Experiences app and what problems does it solve for Shopify brands or store owners?
Yeah, great question. The Experiences app in around five clicks or so adds experiential commerce to any Shopify store. And what that means is while you may sell things, products, t-shirts, supplies for making candles, that merchant can add a booking system to their store to allow for pre-booked experiential commerce moments. So to use that candle example, let's say we have a houseware store and they recognize that, wow, people really aren't coming in to buy stuff anymore or it's being done much less. What if we did a candle making workshop? and we will come in. Someone will pull a vessel off the wall. They'll pour in some hot wax. They will maybe throw in some dried fruit or flowers, add some scent. They're contributing their own labor. They're having a wonderful time, and they're making something where the product itself is a prop for a memory that's being made. Yet at the same time, they're getting a premium for that thing that they might not otherwise sell because people aren't getting in their cars to buy stuff as much anymore.
The candle of the physical thing is very, very interesting comment about wanting people to get together. The other thing I could think of that, and I have firsthand knowledge of this, and that's kind of where we got started, was people in the food business where, you know, they were selling a lot of food products and a lot of housewares to go along with that. But instead, they decided they had a small kitchen available, like in their location, that was meant for on-location kind of cooking classes. And so it turns out that this is a very interesting way of the 1-2 punch, where we have hard goods to sell, but then we also, for a small amount of money, we get people together, and then they're more, it's almost like having like a Tupperware party. It's so where they're all getting together. And so your app kind of allows that to happen, these in-person experiences. And then there's just this residual effect of, wow, I really enjoyed that. Then what complements that is a lot of times the products that go along with that experience.
It's interesting because what we're seeing across our customers, and we have thousands of businesses using our app all over the world, is they have two things in common. It's what they can do and what they must do. So the positive story is, hey, we are, to your point, a kitchenware store. And what we can do is we can curate community. We can help people create happy memories, which, by the way, actively dispel anxiety. This is a pretty well-known scientific fact, is that happy memories improve the quality of people's lives. But they say, listen, we have kitchenwares and supplies and spices that we can sell. But what we can do is we can invite people in our community, and they may even travel to have these happy memories. They're learning something. They're learning maybe how to cook a dish, how to handle a knife, how to sharpen a knife. But they're also doing something that the D2C only retailers can never do. Well, for instance, Amazon. Amazon is never going to be good at curating community and becoming famous in that way in the eyes of their customers. I love Amazon. I think we all love Amazon. It's an incredible convenience, but this is a distinct advantage that brick and mortar retailers have. And then there's the what they must do. So that's the can. Because people don't get in their cars to buy stuff as much, if I need a ream of paper, which I just bought two reams boxes of paper about 15 minutes ago, there's no way I'm going to drive to the store to lug these into my car. Brick and mortar retailers have got to think about the convergence of this experiential commerce first model so that they can not only survive, but they can thrive. And it really is almost irrespective of the type of business. We have such a variety of retailers thinking this way.
So let's talk about your journey, because I think it's always fascinating to set the stage a little bit about why people build what they build. And so are you able to maybe share with our listeners today about what uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, on a couple of points? Number one, to have the desire, and number two, to have the experience to even want to create this app and this platform.
Yeah, absolutely. If I start to cry, it's only because I'm reliving some of the PTSD of going through building a SaaS product. But I'm going to try to keep it professional here. So I have been a lifelong entrepreneur. I'm 47. I've had more failures than successes, for sure. What they don't tell you about businesses that fail, by the way, is, yeah, sure, 50% of them fail, but many of these entrepreneurs dust themselves up and say, hey, I learned a valuable lesson. Hopefully, I don't repeat that one again. And that's me, for sure. But I've been in the software internet space for quite a while. We've had a consultancy for a long time called Helpful Human. And in the process of serving our customers and thinking about what we love to do as a business, one thing we started to observe is how much we were attuned to the experiential side of life. And that kind of sounds silly. Who doesn't like a great experience? But we have invested in that. We have enjoyed our travels together as individuals in our families. Those that didn't have families, we were always celebrating the trips we took. As a company, we just really enjoyed getting together. And I was reflecting with another employee one day. His name was Pete. You know what? The best stuff in life are the memories we have from the experiences that we've had individually and together. And around that time, there was a lot of experiential commerce stuff happening, specifically, however, around small retailers or entrepreneurs getting on platforms like Airbnb, Peak, and Klook to have, you know, fun experiences out in the world or to provide those experiences. So we looked around and we thought, let's empower the everyday brick and mortar merchant. We want to empower them to be able to do the same. And at the same time, we want to leave in place or engage with an existing platform that allows them to sell the stuff or the thing alongside the experience. So we jumped in, and there's a lot of details, but when we first launched this, we had this idea of how it would be used. And we're very much lean startup people. We thought, okay, launch early, launch often. And we totally failed. Our first customers were not doing what we thought they would do with the app. One of our first customers published 120 different experiences at once and then started to hammer it with traffic. Long story short, it broke. It broke big time. And I remember we had 4 or 5 days where we didn't sleep trying to figure out how to make the system more redundant. And we had all sorts of foibles like that, but we've been through 3 or 4 different revolutions of hardening the system and making it better. And now we have taken this software that was once a part of the consulting company. It's its own entity now. It has its own employees. And now we're scaling things up. And the journey of pain and victory is working itself out as we create a fantastic product that our customers love.
So you mentioned there's about, I don't know, thousands around the world that are using your app right now. And it's interesting to me because I would love to understand like successes, like what sort of things do successful merchants that are selling experiences, like what do they do? I'm just curious. We mentioned obviously the home decor or the homewares kind of thing and the candles. I mean, that's certainly a great start. Just curious what you've seen overall that's kind of a unique kind of verticals that are doing well.
This has been very interesting to follow along with. So we've simultaneously learned from our merchants and from some of the best and brightest leaders in the experience economy. They are thought leaders, they're writers. The experience economy, really quick, is sports, entertainment, travel, and dining. And so that's all of air travel. That's all of stadium stuff. That's all of dining. Our customers are this long tail. They're the odd, strange, and sometimes very common micro businesses that are doing stuff within that realm. So for instance, let's use their previous example, candle making. Is that education? Is that entertainment? Is that dining? Well, when you're learning how to make a candle, when you're having fun with your friends, and you're eating some charcuterie and sipping some wine, it's all of those things. So it kind of defies the category. But what they all do is, number one, they're great at creating anticipation. They don't just sell a thing and say, hey, let's wait for it just to ship to you. They're actually good at saying, we can't wait to see you. Their websites, the imagery, the video, they are building anticipation, which creates this thing called savoring, which we've heard that word savoring, but we typically think about it when we're actually consuming something. But there's this concept of pre-savoring. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. Me and my besties are gonna. And whether the merchants actually know they're doing that, our most successful merchants, that's what they do. Then when they get the people in the door, they're really good at making it thematic. It's not an afterthought. If it's important enough to weave an experience into, they're being somewhat thoughtful. And it doesn't always mean they have big budgets. They're not, it doesn't look like a Disney set, but the experience itself is the hero versus the thing that's being consumed, whether it's food or supplies or even a form of entertainment. So they set the stage really well. And it's thematic. And then they really engage people's senses. That's the other thing. They don't say, okay, just go over there and do that. They're all the senses, which we know what those are. They're doing everything they can engage those senses. And then another thing they're really good at is helping people outsource their memories. And that's just a slightly strange way of saying, commemorate this and share it. But they do it in a way that doesn't make that customer feel like they're giving them free advertising. Naturally, people want to share their experiences because they are the most meaningful things to a modern consumer, is the thing I did with my besties, with my partner, with my family. Look at us. And there's these great mediums to share, which is Facebook and Instagram and Snap and all the others.
Kind of interesting. I'm just thinking out loud now that it reminds me of a case study that happened kind of like early on in COVID. So we're talking March, April-ish in 2020 when Gymshark decided to make a pivot on all their social channels, even on their website. Instead of calling themselves Gymshark, they changed their name to Home Shark because they knew that, you know, a lot of the revenue was wholesale to a lot of the gyms and people that were wearing the Gymshark clothing. It's a $1 billion brand now that's been acquired recently. But it's so interesting that this was the, you know, I guess the brand marketing that they did. They said, well, our target audience is no longer going to the gym. And so what are we going to do to build community around our brand and continue to have sales? Well, part of it was just, you know, being resilient enough to think about the name change temporarily and then start creating some online classes, you know, getting Zoom involved. And then and there's some notoriety around, you know, some higher profile, you know, athletes that are sponsors of the brand. And so interesting, you can actually get into their home. And I mean, Rachel Ray is still Rachel Ray at home right now. Like she's still doing her cooking show, like in her home with all this stuff. So interesting. So I guess that's, I just want to throw that back to you, just saying like, is this something that you're seeing, or are there any other kind of popular examples of other maybe traditional retailers and kind of what they're doing to build this experiential kind of marketing now?
Absolutely. The rules apply to the big guys and the little guys. It is not about clever marketing. It is not about positioning. It's not about tricking people. This is what people demand these days. In a time when you can get whenever you want from wherever you want, often within 2 days, brands even like Lululemon. So the Chicago flagship store, 25,000 square feet or so. And this is pre-COVID, of course, but only one floor, last time I checked, was given over to merchandise. The remaining was yoga, meditation. It was a dining establishment. I even think they might have had some co-work. REI stores are essentially, especially their flagship stores, are activity centers where you're going there to learn it. And if you go to REI's online website, by the way, it's like, is this a travel company or can I buy some camping supplies? Here's what these people know, these brands know, that everyone needs to know. If I want to hold a place in the heart of my customer, I have got to be the center of their experiences. And I have got to associate my yoga pants with something more than the utility of a yoga pant, right? And this is what's given rise to Gymshark/Homeshark is new brands can come out. And this is what's amazing about what Shopify has empowered entrepreneurs to do, is to say, I have a story. I have a narrative. I'm going to connect with those customers. And by the way, there's some really great venues to connect with it. So all brands are competing for dollars and affinity. The brands that connect and get into people's lives, not to own them, but to curate happy memories, are the ones that are winning and will continue to win. Famous or maligned for saying something around The Office, which is, we need another booking tool. Like we need another hole in our head. We don't need it, right? We don't need a booking tool. That's one of the most basic utilities on the internet, is being able to book something. So that's not what we are. We are experiential commerce enablement. So the difference there is, there are a few nuances. One, we believe that a good brand or a brand that really wants to own that relationship has to do the booking at their domain. They have to control the narrative, and any tool that facilitates that needs to be in the background. Two, we are not ticketing. Although people use us for ticketing, we have quite a few customers that are using us for ticketing. We are really empowering that everyday Main Street or off street, you don't even have to be on the Main Street anymore, merchant who says, listen, I sell stuff. We have a gift shop. We have a tour. We are going to sell some food. We're going to do all sorts of things. We even have one, I can't remember the name of the town in Canada. It's halfway between the United States and Alaska, but they use us for a whole bunch of stuff because they buy into the idea that the cohesive relationship they're having with their customers, it begins with a booking, but it very, very soon extends into all the different things that customer is going to buy, from a thing to a time to a tour. Our app is designed and will continue to grow in features to support that kind of merchant. It's a unified customer record with the Shopify record. That's something that other platforms don't do. As soon as they hit that booking page, that data is off into their system exclusively. and there's a disconnect. And unless you're running some sort of a third party ERP or something like that, joining that sale back to the customer record at Shopify is very challenging. And there's benefits to have a having a unified customer record. You can say, hey, when this person pre-booked a free reservation or prepaid event with us, they went on to spend more money in our gift shop after they went through our sculpture garden. And when we look at these people, they're also better donors to our nonprofit. So that's an example of a museum in the Hamptons that uses us for their out-of-the-way sculpture park experience.
That's really amazing. So you do actually work with nonprofits then. Do you think that's another kind of growing area where people can get together, learn about their offer, and then from there they just somewhat, because of the experience, feel more compelled to want to give to that cause?
Yeah, the experience for nonprofits is similar to almost all brands. And we can all relate to this. If I go, for instance, if I go to a distillery, which I went to a tasting the other day with my friend, I'm not the biggest connoisseur of whiskey in the world, but my experience was heightened with that brand when I was there and there was someone saying, and this has been in a cask for 80 months and the barrel was previously used by a collaboration brewery. So it had port in it, or it had a porter in it. And then we brewed some whiskey in it. When we can infuse our experiences with more than just the consumption of the thing, we tend to be more invested in the brand we're interacting with. It's no longer just, okay, whiskey is a utility, which gets really scary, by the way. Once you start thinking about, you know, alcohol that way, you might want to take a pause. But I'm having an experience. One of our employees, when he was traveling, he went to a candle making workshop, a multi-location candle making workshop. That's a customer. And he came back with these candles. And I said, hey, let's light these up and see what they smell like. And he said, it's kind of, this candle's more important to me than it just burning in the corner of our office. I kind of want to keep it intact because I had such a great time. I had such a great memory. So as far as nonprofits go, what our at least a couple of our customers have said is the Experience app helps us build anticipation. We're getting, people are showing up more often than when it was just general admission and they just kind of wandered in. Three, they're staying longer. They're bringing more people. And four, they're spending more money everywhere. And they've just said, it's been a game changer for us. And it's not our app that's doing that. It is building anticipation, setting the stage, and understand slowly over time what's happening. They're getting more involved with their customers and they're experiencing more upside.
I'm curious about the connection now of the Experiences app to Shopify's POS. I know over the years, Shopify has been enhancing their hardware pretty dramatically now with, like, you know, dedicated tablets and touchless and they're doing a lot of things. It's pretty amazing. And there's a lot of, like, major retailers. I even manage a few brands that are, you know, upwards of 30 and 40 locations. In some cases, they're all through Disney in Southern California. It's really interesting. I've been having a large retailer of ice cream that uses Shopify POS. So my mind is starting to think about, wow, okay, they're Shopify customers. They're also Shopify POS customers. So that unity is really working well. If inventory and locations and things are all organized and proper reporting is all rolling up. But now if someone was to add the Experiences app into that mix, it doesn't disrupt the tech stack. Yes, you can use Shopify POS. Yes, you have Shopify running. I just want to hear it from your side now. It's like, well, how does it all work? And yet, do you have any case studies or any other examples of anybody that's traditional retailer that's doing experiences, but they're also POS customers? And what benefit do they get being a POS customer?
Yeah. So we have a POS app and I think we're on version 3 of the POS app. Just as an aside, Shopify has such an incredible advantage as far as merchants are concerned over some of the other incumbents out there. In that, if I'm a brick and mortar and I want to be able to reach my customers wherever they are, if someone comes in, they have an amazing experience at my retail environment. Shopify makes it so easy to connect with those customers later through the online channel. I have been a bit of an evangelist. I am a huge fan of Shopify, but I'm typically not over the top when I'm evangelizing stuff, but I've been a little over the top on the point of sale at times. I'm like, why are you not using the point of sale? Well, we're using this one and, you know, it's good. And I said, yeah, it's good. But once someone comes in here and they're, you know, one of your customers, they're going to be able to reach you everywhere. And that is a modern consumer. So it made sense for us to integrate our app with a Shopify point of sale. And when someone pre-books online and they come in, it's seamless because sitting right next to the other things that that merchant can sell is the ability to check people in with the Experiences app or book new or future customers to come in and have that time-based experience. And as you know, Shopify at this point does not manage time inventory. And so it's a unique thing. Once you start messing around with the time space continuum, there's just different things you got to think about. I'm going to sell you something or I'm going to reserve something, but it's not going to happen yet. It's going to happen in the future. So get excited. Once again, the best retailers do a good job of that. So baked into that Shopify point of sale is two things. The built-in Shopify functionality, which is I'm going to sell you something right now. And we're going to manifest that order right now. And I can check you in for something that's happening now or 3 hours from now, or sell you something that's happening now, which is a time-based thing with maybe some limits on it, or something that's going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks. So it's really complementary. And Shopify's API makes it, I mean, it's not easy. You have to know how to build software, but it makes it as easy as you possibly can to bring in new functionality into that point of sale. I encourage any app developer out there that feels like they have a relevant offering for that brick and mortar to explore it. It's a fantastic opportunity.
Love it. All right. Thanks for sharing that, because I think that's an important part that people need to think about. If you're not in retail yet, even going to pop-ups and stuff, there's so much opportunity using the POS solution. I think, you know, as vaccinations get more widespread and for those that choose it, it's so interesting kind of what's happening with traditional retail. I mean, I don't know what the stats say, but I mean, I think actual physical retail is still will be probably 80% of commerce and 20s online. I think it's at 30 some right now, but because we're still in the pandemic, but slowly I think some of that's just going to come down and will go into, you know, physical stores. But at the end of the day, there's some opportunity out there. So I like where the Experiences app is going, playing nicely with existing pieces of tech. Shopify and the POS, I think, is really, really awesome.
Just a thought occurs to me. We have become evangelists for this concept, which is, yes, hundreds of thousands of brick and mortar stores have been closing their doors. Absolutely. And yes, the pandemic has created a lot of friction in people getting into stores. But here's where the big opportunity is. And it's based on a very, very simple fact. There is a huge, huge opportunity in brick and mortar just for the very simple fact that people absolutely want to gather. They want to be together. And consumer preferences are changing. People are spending less time sitting in bars, drinking, or doing kind of reflexy things they've done in the past. And they're looking for creative new opportunities to gather, to create memories. They'll do it around travel, sports, entertainment, and dining. And the long tail, well, that is a great opportunity for the everyday merchant where you can own this space in ways that direct-to-consumer, pure-play direct-to-consumer will never be able to fully touch. So just playing on the fact that I want to get together with my friends, I want to connect 1 to 5 to many friends, I want to go do something with my wife, I want to take my children somewhere, and I'm looking for, almost looking for anything I can do that will create that opportunity. So to bring it back home to the point of sale, to bring it back home to brick and mortar, I'm shouting from the hilltops, go for it. And when you look at the diversity of our customers, everything from skate experiences to surf to experiences around putty, canoeing, candles, wine, distilleries, beer, we have cat coffee shops, museums, and we even have a nudist colony. It just goes on and on and on. Like, do not drink the Kool-Aid that retail is dying. It's not dying. It's just changing.
Mark, I'm sure you can appreciate this, but this podcast really does have a diverse range of entrepreneurs that listen each week. These are, you know, for the most part, they have a website. You know, there's some people in the mid-market and there's lots of people that are in the enterprise side that listen from Shopify Plus that are listening in today. But I'm just curious from your vantage point, because you obviously deal with thousands of entrepreneurs that are using your app right now, plus, you know, just prior experiences in commerce. Just was curious to see, like, what advice would you give store owners today? I mean, obviously you mentioned you're yelling from the rooftops about the retail opportunities that are out there from an experiential standpoint, but just curious overall what you see and how you believe that, you know, just if you had a magic wand or a crystal ball, what would you tell people to do today, thinking about what's going to happen the next 6 to 8 months or so?
I would say you need to sell experiences first and products second as a supporting role. If you are slotting stuff on a wall and setting it out on the table, unless it's incredibly exclusive, you're not going to be nearly successful, and maybe just fail, unless you learn how to weave in the experiential. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a booked experience. That just has its own flavor. That's something we focus on. But sell experiences first, products and products second. And if you're not going to do that, close your doors and just get to shipping. Just start to compete direct to consumer. Now, Main Street, USA, Class A office in high traffic areas, obviously you're always going to get that walk-in, but really connecting with people means that experiential is super important. And I would say, even if it doesn't seem obvious, even if you're selling an odd widget or, you know, you are doing accounting services, think about that, because humans are attuned to the theater of experience and you can weave it into almost everything. If you sit and meditate on that for a minute, you can probably find a few examples in your life where it's like, that was a singular experience and I did not expect that. And it will make you famous in your customers' eyes. And then the third thing is recognize the power of curating happy memories for business growth. This is an innate desire of humans. I may not remember the exact details of the vacation I took with my family to Cannon Beach, Oregon last summer, but I do remember when the tide was really low, we got to walk out behind Haystack Rock. The memories are going to change. They're going to morph a little bit. But what I'm left with is an overall sense of kind of well-being, nostalgia, and it actively dispels anxiety. Now, that was my vacation in Cannon Beach, which is a beautiful place, and I encourage you to visit if you never have. But businesses actually can curate those memories. And when you do that, there's a powerful association with your brand, and you become a retailer of choice. So to disregard the experiential, to only kind of take a hand-wavy approach at it, is not wise. It is wise to think about who your customers are as humans and what they naturally want. And we talk with big brands and we support many, many startups or little brands. It's the same across the board though.
Yeah, love it. Thank you for sharing that, because that's exactly what I believe to be the reality, you know? And I always look at my book of business every week and I try to think of some creative strategies of, you know, there's only so much marketing that I can do, you know, from acquisition and conversion and retention and brand strat and business operations and these technical solutions. I can go down that rabbit hole of trying to assist in those sorts of things. But as soon as you start using, you know, these sorts of words about curating an experience, all of a sudden, is that possible? I have a lot of CPG companies and supplements and sports nutrition companies and a couple snack companies, like subscription. It's so interesting. So I think there's opportunity, especially in larger markets where, you know, people can meet together. And I think that's one of the opportunities that I need to think about is in my role with my book of business is saying, hey, is there an opportunity here for an experiential type marketing around the brand more than just traditional marketing? Because I think that's a big differentiator that not a lot of people are thinking about today. And if they were, they're leading in their vertical. And I think that's pretty exciting. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but I just would love to find out a little more about, I guess, the future for the product. I mean, you know, like as a SaaS company, you obviously have an MVP, it launched, and you obviously there's must be a public roadmap and things keep iterating based on, I guess, feedback loops from your own customers. So I'm just curious about your North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 21 and in the future. Like, is there any alignment for new partnerships and innovation? Just want to understand where the product is headed for the next year or so.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So you can see our requests at feedback.experiencesapp.com. It's a place that we have conversations about this kind of stuff with our customers. Some really near-term stuff that might be interesting is we're doing multi-day. Right now, you can create an experience that's recurring on odd dates, custom schedules, predictable schedules, but it's all one day within 24 hours. So we're releasing very, very soon multi-day. The other thing we're doing, and this is really a reinforcement of our commitment to empower experiential commerce is the ability to ship products with a time booking. And so attaching a certain time slot booking to a product. So if you can imagine a winery that's doing virtual wine tastings, they can sell a box of wine along with the time booking as one of their variants. Or if I am a crafty workshoppy kind of thing and I have to choose my project ahead of time so the supplies are ready for me, that's another thing that we're doing. From a 10,000 foot view, what we're looking at right now is making our API public. We are looking to do some interesting full-on custom build-outs with some larger retailers who are interested in really blowing the doors off the customizability. And we are going to be working on handpicking a few partnerships beyond the one we already have. The two we have, obviously, with Shopify and another one with Zoom. So we've got our eye on a few different platform tools. But overall, our place we play is not big venue ticketing. We are not a one-to-one appointment booking salon tool. We are really about that brick and mortar merchant who is, they have a product, they have a service, but they also recognize the value of experiential commerce for selling. And so our features that are in the pipeline reflect that.
It's exciting. This is a very unique recording today because, like I said, I typically dig pretty deep into a particular tactic or two. But when you use the words like experiential, and I've written a ton of notes here, but experiential commerce enablement, I think is a really good theme. You really are here to differentiate and create for the local merchant an opportunity to resonate with your target audience, current customers or not, but then having the technology to create these memorable experiences, which will have this residual effect of potential sales now or into the future. I think that's pretty amazing. So how can people learn more about your app and your website and some information?
Besides finding our product page in the Shopify app marketplace, you can go to experiencesapp.com, and that's the best place to learn about us. You can email us at hello@experiencesapp.com. You're going to get me and our team. We have a lot of conversations and we're working hard and we're super, super eager to satisfy any use case that is relevant to what we are doing and what the merchant's doing. So we love to have those conversations.
Beautiful. I know we spoke offline today just before recording, and understand that you would like to share an offer for those that are listening today.
Yeah, we want to give you a longer trial. Our pricing is really simple. You pay when you use it, but we do have a 14-day trial normally that allows you to pump as many bookings as you want through the app. In this case, we're going to extend it to a 45-day trial for listeners of the E-commerce Fastlane podcast.
Well, thank you very much for that. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/experiences, and that will redirect you to the landing page so you can take markup on this offer and stuff. I just really appreciate it. I really thank you very much for coming on the show today. It was so interesting just in my initial research, and I had a brand that is in the essential oils market that ran a very large venue annually, but they were trying to figure out ways of selling booths, and they also had some other ways of trying to have continuing education happen for doctors. And there's quite a few interesting ways to use the tool. And that's what kind of got me thinking about it. And as you dig deeper, for those listening today, this is not just a booking app. There's a significantly larger part of the puzzle here that's not being solved yet until the Experiences app now. It's all about experiential. And I just really appreciate that you're building this thing and not another booking app, because we don't need that anymore for sure. Once again, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate everything that you're doing. I wish you continued success in building out this platform and giving back again to the Shopify ecosystem.
We love it. I'm super glad we had a chance to be represented here and that I had a chance to speak with you, Steve, and love the podcast and look forward to sharing it with everyone I know.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Have yourself a great evening.
You too.
This episode is brought to you by Yotpo SMS Bump, the leading SMS marketing solution for e-commerce brands looking to build a top revenue channel. Built for compliance, SMS Bump helps you recover carts, launch targeted campaigns, and engage in truly conversational commerce. Join over 90,000 businesses that use SMS Bump to build meaningful relationships with their customers and sell online. So check them out today. Click the link in the show notes, visit the Shopify App Store or ecommercefastlane.com/SMS Bump and see why over 90,000 other brands choose SMS Bump. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.